Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. Their sound went forth through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. God has declared the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Alleluia, alleluia, I have chosen you out of the world, that ye should go and bring forth the fruit, and your fruit should remain. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge those living in the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. The hymn is in the bullet, it's in the blue book, in 194, and we'll use stanza number 13. Saint Mark. Today's epistle has a
speaks about it with a poetic picture language. He led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. Captivity captive. You see, by his humiliation, our Jesus, like a fish hook concealed in a worm, he caught that which had terrorized us. He reeled in that great Leviathan, and he captured what captured us, and he set us free. Who would have known that it would have been by the cross of Christ that he would set us free? That same Jesus, having defeated death, then also ascended. That is, he elevated our human nature to eternal joys. The ascending of Christ far above the heavens, well, is described in today's epistle as the filling of all things. You see, the human nature is no longer restricted, but the human nature of our Savior is now omnipresent. Wherever the divine nature of Christ is, there he is. The suffering and death of Jesus accomplished this. But his suffering and death, it is received by us individually. Yes, through faith. Apart from faith, there's no salvation. But through faith in the evangel of Jesus Christ, we come to salvation. But today, St. Paul is not speaking about that individual reception. St. Paul is letting us know that all who come individually to believe, we come about it through the communion of the Holy Christian Church. We do it as a group, yes. There are no freelance Christians, those who are somehow disconnected from a pastor or disconnected from an altar or a pulpit and the giving out of the gifts. They are always put together. So first of all, it says, and he, Christ, he himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So our Christ delivers his life-giving person to us. He delivers it to us, yes, but he does it by means of the words. That would be the evangel. And yes, St. John says that one must be connected to Jesus like a branch is to a vine. The believer must abide, that is, he must remain in Jesus. John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and he is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So yes, there has to be a connection. Jesus has to remain in us. We have to be connected, put together with Jesus. Nevertheless, the way that the individual gets connected with Jesus is through the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. And that comes through us, through the apostles, those 12, who sent by Christ as direct witnesses, preach and teach of him. It comes to us by prophets who bore witness about the coming of the Christ in the New Testament. It comes to us by evangelists like St. Mark, who gives us an accurate evangel of Christ's words and work. It comes to us, those words, come to us through the pastoral office, through pastors and teachers who preach and then administer the Christ-instituted sacraments. Those offices, all that he lists, and the men who fill them, are a gracious gift of Christ to his church. Second, those delivery systems that bring to us the good news of Christ are not, those offices are not intended to be, well, recipients of Christ's gifts simply for themselves. No. If you're a prophet, apostle, evangelist, or pastor, it's not just a gift for you. They are to be the means of giving the gifts out to Christ's people. The pastor used their office in order to be a gift for Christ's people. Christ says that the pastors will use their gift for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I've been given a gift. Paul speaks about this in 1 Timothy, where he says that you have been given a holy office, and you have work to do. Pastor, this is not just for you to say, oh, go, great, I got this gift. It's so that you will equip the saints. That is, you'll teach them the law and the gospel so that they know about Christ. You will do the work of ministering and serving them. You've got an office to do. Start preaching and teaching and giving out the gifts. You're going to build up the body of Christ as they come to learn about Christ. It's a gift that gives out gifts. And third, all of this teaching and preaching and strengthening and building and edifying that comes through the Word will have a good effect on Christ's people. Yes, our Lord desires that this preaching would result in Christ's children growing up in their faith. He desires that they would become grown men. Yes, Ephesians 4, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, when St. Paul describes this, says that we are to grow up to be the grown man, the perfect man, he's not speaking of some kind of Pentecostal perfectionism. He's talking about the complete knowledge that you would have, the knowledge of the faith. You see, there are lots of evangels being battered around by false prophets, and those who are delivering these falsehoods call them good news, though they are not. And St. Paul says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and the cunningness and craftiness of deceitful plotting. He says, yeah, there's lots of messages going out. Don't build your faith on it. Don't let it carry you away from Christ. Don't let it... here it talks about the winds of doctrine. As the wind blows this way and that way, you can be told this and told that and never know quite. In our college for today, it describes that as the blast of doctrine. This blast that knocks us off the foundation. No. Paul wants us to hear this message that we would have confidence. When Christ's evangelist delivered, as St. Mark delivered, God's people will be grounded in the good news of Jesus Christ. St. John, he says it this way, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. You see, false doctrine creates doubt. It undermines faith in the evangel. The evangel, the true evangel, like St. Mark preached, creates faith so that Christ's joy brings eternal joys to you. When you have the true and complete doctrine of Christ, then your joy may be full. Your salvation is assured. You have become what Christ desires, a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The evangel delivers to us the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen.
The Offertory, page 143.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We thank thee, O Lord Almighty, that thou didst raise up from the dead our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Show him openly unto witnesses chosen before you, who by him received grace and apostleship, the ministry to testify of the evangel of your grace unto the obedience of faith among all nations for his name's sake. We beseech thee, of thy great mercy, keep us in that pure apostolic doctrine of the Holy Gospel, accompany the preaching of the Word with that effectual working of your Spirit, that we may be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Help us to remember those who have spoken unto us the Word of God and follow their faith. Raise up at all times faithful witnesses of the truth, endue them with power from on high, that they may fearlessly confess thee before men, and turn many hearts to thee. Rule thy people with thy rod, the flock of thy heritage, with the staff of the good shepherd, that being kept by thy grace and power, we may at last obtain the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls, and with all the saints, praise and glorify thee, world without end.
Amen.
Amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
have mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away
taken to you. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve the body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Upon you and give you peace.